Ches, let's finish off Shmuel Aleph today. It wasn't that time. When they knew that David HaMelech had defected to the Plishtim itself, and David HaMelech was living among the Plishtim, and then afterward, Shaul HaMelech was sitting there by himself. Immediately, the Plishtim took advantage of the situation. They said, okay, this is the time for us. I mean, they clearly are in trouble. Nobody's out there. They gathered their camps for war. Achish said to David Moses, Achish the king, you should surely know you and your men are coming with us. I mean, that's clear. Starts off with the word Vayihi. Vayihi is always grief. This is the beginning of the end of Shaul's kingdom, and that's that. Now, David HaMelech knew that there was no way he could join Achish in the war against the Jews. David HaMelech also knew that he could not join them, because if he didn't join them, then the people would say, oh, he's clearly going for the Jews, and they'd kill him. And he has his families there, remember? His wife and kids were living among the Plishtim. So David HaMelech was in a very precarious position right now. His plan was to keep them from fighting the Jews, but it didn't work. Now, they're ready to fight the Jews, and David HaMelech has no idea what to do right now. So, Vayomer David HaMelech Lachena, to say that, you know, it's a Asher Yasav Decha, what your servant will do. Get out of everything. He didn't say, I'm ready to fight. He didn't say, I'm on your side. Nothing like that. You know what your servant's going to do. You have no idea. He had absolutely no idea what to do. Therefore, you will be my bodyguard for all of these days. And David HaMelech is in massive trouble. Massive trouble. What am I going to do? How am I going to be able to do this? So, Shmuel Mace, Pasuk Gimel, Shmuel died in Yisroel Kol Yisroel. They had already eulogized him. They had buried him in Ramah. Ubi Iro. And in his cities as well, in other words, the reason why it says it that way, in every city there was another hesped for Shmuel and Avi. They all knew how great Shmuel was. Shol Hesera Ovos is the Adonim in Aretz. At that time, Shol HaMelech had gotten rid of all the magicians from the land. It seems that Shmuel HaMelech did not do so, but Shol HaMelech did so. It could be that Shol HaMelech had the power. Or, here's a good line, Shmuel and Avi never needed to, because anybody who ever needed anything, they all went to Shmuel. They didn't need to go to the sorcerers. I mean, what was the point? You had Shmuel available at all times, and you had a bunch of Nevi'im that were around. But after he died, many of the prophets stopped prophesying. It showed you there was as if everything was coming through Shmuel. Shmuel was the reason why they were prophesying, not through anything else. Once he died, everything was gone, and at that point, Shaul HaMelech knew, I have to get rid of all the magicians, because if the magicians are around and people want to know things and they're used to hearing things, instead of going to Nevi'im, they're going to go straight for black magic. So he got rid of every single one of them. So the Plishtim gathered together and they camped by a place called Shunem. So Shaul HaMelech came with all the Nesor and he camped by a city called Gilboa. It's somewhere around here. I'm not going to find it offhand, but you knew. They camped by Gilboa. Now Shaul HaMelech was extremely scared. He was already in a bad state, and now this is even more scary, because once Shmuel and Avi died, the police were coming near. He had no idea what to do. There was no Navi helping him. There was no Urim and Tumim, because he was together with David HaMelech. He had nothing.
What about God? He was there.
God was with David HaMelech.
He was with David?
God, Hosen, Nathan, and Navi were both with David HaMelech. So meaning, Shaul literally had no one. There was no one around. Shaul saw the camp of the Plishtim, it says in Pasuk K. He was very afraid, and he trembled greatly. He literally had no idea what to do over here. Shaul HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik, even at this point. There's no question whatsoever. He had chumras, he gave a ton of tzedakah, and he was also humble, there's no question whatsoever. Nonetheless, his heart trembled greatly because he knew this was his end. He felt it, and he realized it. Shaul asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anohu Hashem, but Hashem would not answer him. Gam b'chalamos, gam b'urim, gam b'nevi'im. Neither in dreams, nor in the Urim v'Tumim, nor in prophets. How did he get a hold of the Urim v'Tumim?
It's possible
there was another Urim v'Tumim. The other possibility is that he knew the shame of the Urim. The Urim and the Tumim were shameless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's possible he knew the shame and he tried using that as well, but that also didn't work. Listen to this, by the way. What he tried to do was something called Shelas Chalom, asking through a dream. What that means is, after fasting for 3 days and immersing in a mikvah, the person seeking counsel from heaven would recite Tehillim Yud Beis and have in mind the holy name of God associated with this psalm. You all know that name, right? I was hoping I would get one of you to say it. All right, Then after certain additional verses and special prayers, he would specify his question, place a sheet of paper under his pillow, and ask that the answer appear there in the morning. Upon waking, he would find written on the paper either the first or last letters of the words of a particular pasuk. This, in turn, required deciphering, which necessitated that the questioner be learned and understanding in the esoteric teachings of the Torah. Upon occasion, the answer appeared but could not be deciphered, in which case the questioner might repeat the procedure, this time asking for a clearer answer. Shelos Kolom did not work for Shaul HaMelech. He wasn't able to use it. But that is called Shelos Kolom. Some say he sent over to get the Urim and Tumim. Okay, that's that. Vayomer Shaul HaVadav, he said to his servants, Bik Shuli Eshes Balasov. Alright, get me a Balasov. See, what he held was the following. Tumim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha, which means you have to be perfect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and not ask about magics whatsoever, was only a chiyuv when there was other ways to find out what you needed to know. If you could find out what you needed to know through Nevi'im or through the Urim and Tumim or through Cholomos, then you should go through them and not go to the magics. But if you can't find out through them, then you can go to magics. We don't pask in this way. But says the Chassam Sofer, that was Shitas Shol, which is why Shol HaMelech originally got rid of the Ovis V'Yidonim, because you have all the availabilities of all these people here, even if Shmuel and Avi died. Nonetheless, there was still the Urim and Tumim, there was still Tainus Cholom if you really wanted to. When it didn't work for him, he yelled, okay, so I have to go to the next line. The next line is what I have to do over here. I have to get a Balas Ov. The Elkei Lab, the Edrash Shabbat.
It's more like, is this kind of to us now, so yes,
there's no question, it's Pikuah Nefesh for Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, so that's why he would...
Yeah, but thinking that it would go. Oh, that's a good call, meaning another reason why would be because it was Pikuah Nefesh.
It wasn't like...
The Elkei Lab, the Edrash Shabbat. I'm going to go to her, I'm going to ask her questions. But Yimra Avadim, as Avadim said to him, he ne ishes Balas Ov Ein Dor. Listen, there's a Balas Ov in a place called Ein Dor. Okay, so that's that. Now, if you know over here, the Isha, this Isha that we have over here, Hinei Ishes Balazov, is referring to the wife of Tzfanya Hanavi. Remember Tzfanya, part of the Treyaser, and the mother of Avner Ben Ner. Okay, that's why she's known as Ha Isha, which Ha Isha is the Gematria of He Aim Avner. That's the Gematria of He Aim Avner right over there. So that's that. Now, she didn't know about magic. She didn't practice it normally. But she knew it just like the Sanhedrin knew about all these different chokmas. Just like they had to learn about it, not in order to do them, but in order to teach them to other people. She also knew it. She knew it, but she had never done it before. But she knew about the ark, and she knew about stuff like that. Oh, there we go. Look at this. Because this is a matter of life and death, as you said before, Nehemiah, they sought out Avner's mother. She had mastery over the forces of sorcery and knew how to use them in a permitted manner. That's that. Why now? Because Shmuel and Avi was no longer alive, because they were threatening the police and they were coming around, and he needed to know what to do, at least in battle, what should he do. But Yitzchapes Shol, says in Pasuk Ches, Vayobash Begadim Acherim, so Shol disguised himself. He wore other clothes, Vayelechu Shnei Anashim Imo. He went with two men with him, that was Avner and Amasa. Vayavol Elisha Laila, and he came to the woman in the night, Vayomer Ksom Li Ba'ov, do me magic with the Ov, Vahali Li Etashar Omer Elayich, and I bring me up who I want to be able to take care of, or something like that. By the way, when it says the word Vayichapes, whatever, that he changed his clothes and stuff like Vayichapes, it really means he cheapened the Malchus. Chofesh is what it means. He made it into like a sale, so to speak, in which he just cheapened his position by going to the Balas Ov and going to him whatsoever. You should know, there's a crazy little line over here that I never knew. Chazal say that magic of this sort has no power at night. Ovi Adoni cannot be done at night. I didn't know that. I thought it only would work at night. But apparently it doesn't work at night. So the time of the world, it was really daytime, but it seemed black as night to them. And that's why it says that they went at night, but it wasn't real. Kosem means you hold a myrtle branch in your hands. The person would then put your arms together and slowly recite certain charms. He would then burn ketores and wait until he could hear a hushed voice talking to him as if from under the ground, answering that which he had asked. Pretty cool, isn't it? I'll not try that ever. But Omer Yishai Love, and the woman said to him, you know what Shaul HaMelech did. He got rid of all the Ovis and the Yidonim from the land. Shaul HaMelech did that. So if he finds out about me,
let me tell you. According to this, that she didn't know who he was.
Not yet, yeah.
But why would she, if she was who the mentor says she is?
Abner's mommy.
Wouldn't she, and she would only be doing this because...
Probably I mean, if Avner came there, then yeah, she's doing it for him, but didn't know that it was for the king.
No,
number
but then
two,
she's doing
who says Avner didn't dress up? Avner and Amasa have to be by Shaul for that, but yeah.
I'm referring to, if she only did this at the time, she only knew this for when they needed it,
mm-hmm.
then why would she be doing it now? Because she didn't think that it was... if the king wasn't coming to her, some random schmo's coming to her, why would she do it?
That's a good question. I don't know. You're right. I mean, if it was just some Joe Schmo off the street, why would that convince her to be able to do it? That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that question. That's an obvious shock question.
A question that would kind of get rid of that medrash out of it, because me and Israel had a really cool thing about this whole thing, that... that when Shmuel went to her, she was mad at... when Shaul went to her, she knew that it was Shaul. She was mad at... this is according to the Rambam, who says that magic didn't exist. That's the question that we asked him. According to the Rambam, how does he explain this?
Yeah.
So he said his thinking of maybe how the Rambam thought about this was that she knew that Shaul was coming. She had heard. So she had this whole show put on that this guy dressed up as Shmuel come out and... pretend
that he was going to be it.
How can she say that he's going to die?
Mm-hmm.
They said it's the greatest thing, because if she's wrong, then she scared him. If she's right, then it's the you can't go wrong with that, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, but at the end, it never really happened. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam does explain this myself.
He does.
Yeah, Rambam explains it in Moreh Nevuchim. He explains that it didn't normally work. She always faked it. I thought that's what your Rebbe was trying to say. He always faked it. But at the end of the day, Shmuel came down, and that's why she was so shocked.
So that was his other way. He said it's like the movie Ghost. That this fake...
Okay, I don't...
You've never seen the movie?
I thank God I don't remember a single line from it. We don't have to worry about that. Okay, so let's go on for a second. So right now, I don't know about that. I don't know the answer to that. But either way, she said, why are you trying to kill me? She said, why are you trying to kill me? Why would allow this to happen to me? By the way, could be she was getting a lot of money for this. So even if it was a regular guy, maybe it was a regular guy, but with a lot of money involved. By Shabbat law, Shol Basham Lemor. Shol swore to the God, saying, Chai Hashem Yikri. I swear to you, no punishment will happen to you because of this. Bring up Shmuel HaNavi. That's the idea behind it. Now, notice, he didn't say Shmuel HaNavi. He just said, bring me up Shmuel. He didn't describe to her what exactly he was doing.
There's a million Shmuels.
I'm sorry?
So there's a million Shmuels.
Million Shmuels. And that's why it was a bit of a shock. Batera Isha Shmuel. The woman saw Shmuel and Avi. But she's got the cold goblet. She called out Avi. Tomorrow you shall show. Lamor. She called out to Shoal saying, Lamari me sonny got to Shoal. Why do you trick me? You are Shoal. Because either she saw Shmuel and Avi come up in a very covetic manner in order to honor the king, or she saw Shmuel and Avi bowing down in front of Shoal HaMelech. And that's the reason why. Or because, what else? That Shmuel revealed to her that the man standing next to her was Shaul HaMelech. So she screamed, she began to tremble. Some say that this happened even before she did any magic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Shmuel and Avi to be called up through magic. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Shmuel back from the dead at that moment in order to bring him there without any magic things involved, without any magic tricks involved, that he wouldn't have to be involved in such things.
Because, yeah, of course a nace is better than having magic happen.
Yeah, for sure, without a question, right? Because Kiddusha over Tumah. You don't want more Tumah in the world, you'd rather have more Kiddusha in the world. The Chazal tell us also that Shmuel HaNavi was so scared, he was convinced this was Judgment Day at the end of times, he went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe, please come and help me. He said, what do you need? He said, swear to the Beis Din that I've done everything that's written in the Torah. So Moshe came along with Shmuel, and that's why it says, where's the line? Here, it says, by Yomer lo HaMelech, the king said to her, Altiri, do not be afraid. Kimad Ra'isa, Ra'is, what do you see? By Tamar Yishol Shol, the woman said to Shol, Elohim Ra'isi Olamin Aretz. I see gods coming up from the ground. Chazal Darshan, two men came up from the ground who looked like gods. It was Moshe and Shmuel that came off the ground, and then Moshe immediately disappeared. And that's why.
Rashi says that.
I'm sorry?
Rashi says
that. That's what he says. That's Rashi. By Yomer lo Mato Aro, what's a Gemara? It's all from a Gemara. By Yomer lo Mato Aro, he said, what does he look like? Ish Zakein.
Motion,
Tagiga. Mm-hmm. They were equal in Nivu in their own generations, whatever that means. Right? An old man has come up. He's wearing a cloak. And Shaul's like, what? Old man? Cloak? That's him. I have no idea how he figured it out from there. But anyway, he bowed his face to the ground. He went down to the ground in order to bow down to him. Unbelievable little line. Why do you anger me? How else is he to bring me up like this? There's bad things going on. The police are waging war against me. And the gods have turned away from me. In other words, the Malach has turned away from me. He has not answered me. Not through the Nevi'im, not through dreams. So I called to you to tell me, what should I do? Notice, by the way, you left out one. He hasn't answered me through dreams. He hasn't answered me through prophets. He hasn't answered you through the Urim and Tumim either, but he's embarrassed. Say the Urim and Tumim, because Shmuel and Avi will say, well, you killed Novi or a Kohanim. Of course the Urim and Tumim is not going to work for you. You killed them. How could you do such a thing? That's that. At the end of the day, Shmuel and Avi told him what he needed to know. We're going to see what ends up happening over here. Why do you call me up? Hashem saw me, Allah Hashem has turned away from you. He is now your enemy. And that's what it is. Hashem is about to do to him. Notice it's him and not to you. That's how bad it was at the time. Like he spoke, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tearing away the kingdom from your hands. He's now giving it to your friend, to David. Although Shmuel and Avi was always scared to say that while he was alive, now he's like, what can Shaul do to me? Kill me again? I'm good. Like, there's nothing that Shaul can do to me right now. I'm perfectly fine, and that's the reason why he didn't say anything whatsoever. It's interesting over here, but it does say that when it says lo, I guess Hashem lo kasher dibur, it might not be referring to Shaul. It might be referring to David HaMelech. God did for David HaMelech what he promised him he was going to do. He's going to become king. Yeah.
Shaul, you just said a few minutes ago, was still a good man.
No question.
So why would God become his enemy as opposed to be mad at him and allow him to do...
As a punishment for what he had done for Novi or Kohanim. He did give... Hold on. Yes, he does have a chance to do tshuva, and that's what's about to happen. Kasher lo shamat b'kol Hashem, you did not listen to the voice of God, b'wasisa charonapo, and you did not do his anger thing, b'amalek, against the malek. How can it ever tell so Hashem ayom hazeh? Therefore, this is what God does to you on this day. Mitzin Hashem tam Yisraelim kol b'yad polishim. God has put all of B'nai Yisrael together in your hands, with you, in the hands of the polishim. Why B'nai Yisrael? Would have B'nai Yisrael do wrong? B'nai Yisrael were chayiv as well, because they had spared the sheep and the animals of Amalek, and they had convinced Shaul HaMelech to do the same. Therefore, the people were chayiv as well. They're all responsible. But tomorrow, you and your sons will be together with me in Shemayim. Also, the Machne Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will put into the hands of the Pelishim, and they will die. He told them, you are going to die by the sword. You and your sons will all die by the sword. However, he gave them a caveat. If you want to flee, you'll live. You want to run away? If you don't want to fight this war, you just want to run away right now, you'll live. But if you die tomorrow in the middle of the war, then that will be your tshuva, and that will allow you to be with me in Shemayim tomorrow. It's your choice. That's the kapara. That's the line. Umachor atu v'necha imi.
Yeah, but all that before.
Which one?
The caveat. Where do they get the caveat from?
It's interesting how the wording was given over here. There is a line that it says...
It doesn't say anything about being able to run away and live.
It's the Gemara. Unfortunately, it doesn't have the Mara Mekomos over here, but it's a Gemara. How do you know that Shaul HaMelech was granted forgiveness by Hashem? Because Shmuel and Avi said, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. And that's the idea. In heaven. And some say that a heavenly voice called out and said that Shaul HaMelech was called Bechir Hashem, the chosen one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he was called the chosen one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore we know they ended up getting tshuva. Where do we get the idea that if he fled, then he was going to leave, then he was going to live? That comes from the Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni over here in Shmuel Aleph says that if he chooses to die, he will be rewarded with Olam Haba. If he chooses to say that he would flee, then he would be
Yalkut
saved.
Yalkut Shimoni is a Rishon?
Yalkut Shimoni is a Yalkut written by probably a guy by the name of Shimon, but I don't know who wrote it down, right, of all Midrashim from all over the world. the place. Meaning if there's a Medrash Rabbah in the middle of Parshas Miketz that you wanted for over here in Shmuel, he pulls it in here and puts it right over here. That's what the Yalkut Shmuel does. He pulls it from everywhere out there.
What is the region after on
that? Maybe 250, 300 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. But the Midrashim are from Altaheim.
Yeah,
right, all the way back as well.
But does he make his own Midrashim, or he just...
Not really. Not that I know of. Yeah, he puts things together. By Meher Shaul. What? Yeah. So Shaul HaMelech hurried. Okay, he fell with his full length to the ground. He was so afraid of the words of Shmuel. He had no strength left in him. He had not eaten bread all day and all night because he was searching for this Baal HaZov. He wanted to know the truth. Once he heard that, he literally could not. He fell down to the ground. Literally, I guess you could say, he fainted. Some say he never even heard the voice, it all came through the woman. Others say he fainted when he heard the lies, the lines from Shmuel and Avi. And that's what it ended up being over here. So that's what ended up happening.
But some say that he never actually saw Shmuel, that it was...
He definitely didn't see Shmuel. The question was, did he hear Shmuel? That was the kasha. At the end of the day, it's clear that when Avner and Amasa asked him afterwards, so what did she tell you? He definitely lied. There's no question he lied. He told them, oh, he told me that we should go to war. But he didn't say anything else. Now, why did he say that if people were going to die? It seemed to Shaul, and it could very well be, that although the Jews lost that war, everyone was able to escape except for the three sons of Shaul and Shaul HaMelech. And therefore, because he heard that the three sons of Shaul and Shaul HaMelech would die, but that nobody else would die, but that they would lose the war, they would be run away. At that point, he said, then I'll go to war. I'm willing to fight the war and fight that war.
Battles to win the war.
To win the final war. He knew that David HaMelech was going to decimate them, which is exactly what David HaMelech did as soon as he found out what happened to Shaul HaMelech. He destroyed all the pollution. The pollution don't get up again, ever. They're gone. After this war, after the end of this war, the Plishim never come up again against David HaMelech. This is the final skirmish after, you know, this is all said and done. But Shaul said the reason why he lied is he didn't want to break the spirit of the people. He wanted them to go out. But everybody escaped. Amasa escaped. Avner escaped. I mean, even though they were the chief generals of Shaul HaMelech's army, it seems almost as if Shaul and his three sons went to parley before the war happened, and they were killed then, and the rest of the people saw it and fled. That's what it seems like ended up happening, because it doesn't seem like there was a real war that was fought over here. The woman came to Shaul. She saw that he was very shocked. Listen, your shivcha has heard your voice. I'm putting my soul into my hands. In other words, because I did something really dumb. Right? I did this Baal HaZov thing when I shouldn't have. The Ashmas of Rech, I listened to your words that you had told me to do. Now I want you to listen to your bubby over here. I'm going to give you bread to eat, and you will eat it. That way you have strength when you go on the road. She saw that Shaul HaMelech could not move, and that he was fasting, and that he wasn't able to go anywhere. But Shaul HaMelech refused. He said, I'm not eating. His avodim urged him. And also the woman. And he listened to the voices. He got up on the ground and sat down on the bed. Shaul HaMelech said, I don't want to eat when Bnei Yisrael is in grave danger. I don't want that to happen, because I don't know what's going to happen over the next couple days. I don't know what's going to be. I know I'm going to die tomorrow. I know I'm going up to Olam Haba along with my sons. But other than that, I don't know what's going to be for Bnei Yisrael, so I don't want to eat. But they wouldn't let him do so. V'leisha Egel Marbik Babayis. The woman had in her possession a fattened calf. But when I hear it's Bachayu, she quickly slaughtered it. But she got Kemach Batolosh Batofeu Matzos. She took flour. She kneaded it. She immediately ate Matzos. In other words, quick bread. Not because it was Pesach, but usually that's the drush. But she just needed quick bread. But Tagit was in Shaul. She brought it in front of Shaul, with Nevadim in front of his servants, by Yochelu, and they ate it. They Akumi Yoko Balailahu, and they got up and they left. They went out at that night. Some say that we learn from over here that Shechita of a woman is kosher, because she's the one who slaughtered. But Tiz Bechayu, she was the one that slaughtered it. So you can see from over here that Shechitas Isha is kosher, although that's a big machlokas. Wow. Whether or not you can have Shechita of an Isha.
What's the difference? If they do it correctly, they're
evil. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know the intricacies behind it. All I know is that they're evil. So it's possible that their evilness will go into the shechita that they do.
Shaul,
I'm joking, dude. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
What made Shaul decide that he was going to eat?
what made Shaul decide he was going to eat from the food itself?
She was nudging him, like, what?
Avner and Amasa must have convinced him. Halachically, Avner was about to have these, and he could have gotten up there and said, "You're chayiv to eat." That very easily he could have done.
Avodah did it. Vifur tuvo avodah.
Mm-hmm.
So he eventually acquiesced.
That is 100% true. That's that. Okay, that's that. Matzos we already did. Here we go. We're on perfect.
Nowadays about women, shleita.
I believe we paskin that we don't do it lechachila. If I remember correctly, I haven't learned hilchos shleita in a long time. Sammy, do you remember, can women do shleita? Depends of what?
Depends of the place they are.
Okay. There we go. There we go.
Okay. What places
thank
allow
you,
it?
Shrach.
What places do allow it?
She wants to move there. Yemen.
I think so.
The last shochet in Yemen is a guy by the name of Dahari. His son lives in Chicago. Dahari. It's the last shochet in all of Yemen.
Wow.
Yeah. He's the last guy. So I can ask him. I can ask Menachem. He's the last shochet. That's the only reason why he's there. His parents are still there because of this. Because they're the last shochet. And if they leave, there's no more kosher meat in Yemen. Amazing, isn't it? Crazy stuff.
What's famous as Yemen is in the Jewish world, you think there was more Jewish people there?
Not anymore. They're all gone. From all the persecutions. This guy's best friend was just killed on the street 3 years ago. It's a terrible place to live. They all have to get out. So the Plishim gather together all their camps, Afeka, to the place called Afek. Okay, so they sat in a certain area called Jezreel. The Sarni Plishim opened the mails of Alotham, and the Sarni Plishim, they kept going by 500s and then thousands, right? In other words, there were just troops and troops and troops, one after the other. David Vanashev over Bachorni Malchish. David and his men were traveling last behind Malchish. They still had no idea what to do. David and Malchish was still confused, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking them, Ritumim, what am I supposed to do in this situation?
He should have been allowed to go to war against Shaul and his friends because they've been trying to kill
him. He didn't want to. That's not David Melech, as he said the whole time. And probably, right, Abishai ben Tsruya has been telling him this the whole time. Let's go fight. Let's go fight. But David Melech did not want to. So the officers of Plishtim.
Between Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings, like the Jewish kings are always front in line, and this guy's clearly back. If David's
that's a good call.
Behind him.
That's a good call. But David Melech himself was told not to go out to battle at some point. So, no, I think Jewish kings also, they usually stay toward the back.
Okay.
You don't normally put the most important person in the front.
Just in David's case, the fact that he was the best
one. Originally he was in front. The Sari Plishim said, Ma Ibrahim Ela, who are these Jews? What are these Jews doing here? Vayimar Alkashal Sari Plishim Alozad David. Isn't this David the Abed Shaul Melech Yisrael, the servant of the Shaul Melech Yisrael, Shayitiza Yamim Ozesh Shanin? This guy's been with me for days, even years already now. Some say that he was with him only for 4 months, but he like exaggerated a little bit. I mean, it feels like it's been years already how long this guy's been with me over here. I've not found anything wrong with him from that point up until now. He said, listen, and they came to stay. His families are with us. I mean, it's not like this is crazy, right? He's around there. But the princes were obviously very, very jealous of David HaMelech, of the special honor that David HaMelech was given, and they're worried about David HaMelech, you know, joining up. He said, this is David, the Eved of Shaul. Remember, he was kicked out of Shaul's kingdom. He hates Shaul. He's willing to fight against Shaul. That's his call. Bayik tzifu alav, sorry, Pelushim. So the officers of the Pelushim got very angry at him. Bayomer lo, sorry, Pelushim, hashev is a ish. Return him back. The Yashav HaMakom, bring him back to his place. Have got it to Hashem that he's from there. Lo yeridi manav b'mochamad, do not allow him to go to war with us. Lo yelam el asafim b'mochamad, do not allow him to be a suffim for us in the middle of the war. But ma yisrat tzel adonav, how much will it take for him to be appeased to his master? All Shaul HaMelech has to do is beckon him a little bit, and then all of a sudden David HaMelech will be right back into it. Hello, Barashi Anoshim Ahim. He is the head of these people. This is mostly his army when he worked for Shaul. He was working for Shaul with all these men before, and he knows all these guys. What was that? David Ashayanav and Bamacholos. Isn't this David that he used to say in the dances? Lamar Yika Shaul Balafav and David Rivosov. Shaul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. I mean, David Malach remembers. David Malach knows. All it'll take is a little bit of a war where he sees the Jews getting killed, and he'll immediately switch sides to their side and be able to be with them. So that's the idea. Notice, by the way, they didn't even want to mention his name. They said, sorry, Pelushim, Hashem is a ish. Return the man. They didn't want to say who it was or anything like that. Now, it's true that they had suspicions. And by the way, they were 100% correct. David Melech would have fought for the Jews, and he would have fought against Achish. Immediately would have killed Achish, and would have immediately killed the Sari Pelushim had he fought against the Jews. That's exactly what would have happened. So they were 100% incorrect. There's no question whatsoever. They said there's no way he's not going to go back. It's going to be very easy for him to do. Also, they were saying, even if we win, the glory is going to go to David HaMelech. That's what happened in Bnei Yisrael. That's what's going to happen over here as well. Now, by Yikra Ochishol David, Ochishol said to David, call out David HaMelech. Chai Hashem, by the life of God, Ki Yosh Ratzal, you are straight. Chazal tell us, it's amazing. He said the word Chai Hashem, right? You know why? Because when kings want to swear falsely, they swear by other people's gods. He really was suspicious of David HaMelech himself, Achish, and he had his guard up the entire time that David HaMelech was going to go toward the Jews. He always had in the back of his, you know, the back pocket, he had another knife facing David HaMelech, just in case David HaMelech had any inkling to go join toward the Jews itself. By the life of God, he says, I believe you are Yasher, but he was lying through his teeth. He knew that David HaMelech was a faker. I want you, I think it's good in my eyes for you to come and go with me from the war. Because the chances, the odds that he might be on his side. Right? I've not found you doing anything wrong from the day that he came back to me until today. However, in the eyes of the other officers, you're not good. And that's going to kill the morale in war, and I don't want the morale to be lessened. That's a shuv lech v'shalom. So it says in Pasuk Zion, now go in peace. Notice, by the way, lech b'shalom, not lech l'shalom. It should be l'shalom for somebody who's alive. But the police don't have manners. The low stats of Rabbi Ain Sarnay Pollution. Do not do anything evil in the ear, the eyes of the Sarnay Pollution. What did I do wrong? What have I done? What has been done against your servant from this time until there? That I shouldn't come and wage war against the enemies of my master, the king. David Melch on the inside is rejoicing out of his mind. It's like, I just got out of it. I didn't have to do anything, and I was just out of it. He like slowly turned around. He's like, fine, you don't want me, you don't want me. But like the whole time, he's like singing and dancing. I don't have to fight, I don't have to fight, I don't have to fight. He was so happy. He emphasized, he's like, oh, he's your enemy. Right? He even emphasized that Shaul HaMelech was only an enemy of Achish, but not his own enemy. Notice that as well. Achish answered and said to David HaMelech, I know that you're good in my eyes, like an angel of God. But the officers, the police, they don't want you to go up to war, and I don't want to start up with them. Before you get up early in the morning, and all the servants of your master who have come with you, get up in the morning early, get up when it's really early, and just go. They went back to the land of the Plishim, Yalu Yisrael. The Plishim went up to Yisrael. Now, this was all Min HaShemayim, purely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of what David HaMelech was about to see. This was not a coincidence that he was all of a sudden sent back for more. And in fact, had what happened not happened, he probably still would have gone to war and killed Achish in the midst of the war when they were fighting the Jews. Shaul and his three sons still would have died, but the Jews would have won that war because David would immediately have turned against Achish and all the Sarni Pelishim, killed all of them, and the Pelishim would have all been destroyed. But something had happened. Something that changed absolutely everything which allowed David HaMelech or needed David HaMelech to go back. And we'll stop with this. Is that enough suspense? That's good suspense, isn't it? That's pretty good.
That's
cleaning up the later.
A big miracle because Achish did have his doubts about David. And
the entire time?
He was sending David back. He might as well have killed him at that point.
David HaMelech was not going to be killed. And I think he knew that, not with his men. David HaMelech was way too strong. And Achish knew that as well. He was waiting to surprise him to see what would happen. But there was no way he was going to actually kill him. But I do hear you that it would be likely to do such a thing. Pasuk Aleph and Perek Lamed. When they came to Tziklag, remember that was the city that they were living in. By Yom HaShlishi, on the third day, when the war had started, the Amaleki Pashtul Negev, the Amalekin, had spread out through the south of the land. By Tziklag, they had even come to Tziklag. By Yaakov Tziklag, they had destroyed Tziklag. They had burned it in a fire. By Yishpos and Nashom HaShavami Katzim HaGadol, and they had captured all the women that were in it, from young until old. Loi Misu Ish, they had not killed a man, and that was a huge miracle in of itself. The Amalekim had only taken every single person as prisoners. They led them and brought them on their way. Now again, if David HaMelech would have gone to war, he never would have found out about this in time. He never would have caught up with the Amalekim. He never would have heard about it. They were already 3 days out, or however many days out, from where they had gone before and taking away all these spoils, and the wives, and the women of all the people that were there, along with their children. There's no question David HaMelech would have found it very, very difficult to be able to get them all back by that point, and even if they had gotten them back, for them to be mutter to their husbands. That would have been very, very difficult, especially to the Kohanim, right? Because remember, there's considerate.
Any issues on?
Melech is also an issue. Remember, the two women that were there were two very, very holy women, right? Who were Abigail and what's her name? And
not Michal.
Not yet. She wasn't there. I forgot her last name. Achinoam. Achinoam Israelis.
Yeah, Israel.
Achinoam was the other one. So they were there, right? And they had gone around. So the raid, this is typical of Amalekim. When all the men are away, that's when they go in and they try to fight something. That's what these people do. That's what the Amalekim were like. They came to the city, it was entirely burned in a fire, and Hashem was unable to save Mishpu. Their wives, their children had all been captured. They didn't find any bodies. Thank God. Not one person was killed, which is miracle number one. They lifted up their voices, and when they cried, until they literally had no strength to cry anymore. And the two wives of David had been captured, Achinoam of Yisrael and Abigail, the wife, the old wife of Nabal HaKarmeli, and that's the reason why it would have been there. It's interesting that they call her still Isha's Nabal HaKarmeli. Okay, so it seemed that some people were violated and they were worried about that completely. However, these two wives of David, the pasuk is telling us, were never violated. And that's why it says there were still Nishay David. There were the wives of David Melech, that there was still Mutter to David Melech without a problem.
Now, I don't know why I keep on referring to as.
No, we don't know. By Titzel Devimo, David Melech was very distressed. Kemro Amla Saklo. I mean, it could again be that she wasn't yet married to David. Could very well be. Kemro Amla Saklo. The people wanted to kill him. Kimara Nefesh Kola Am Ishal Banav Albinosa, because every person was so bitter for their sons and their daughters. David Melech strengthened himself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this was interesting. David Melech was so overcome with grief that he had given up hope of ever getting his wives back ever again and any of the stuff that they had had for ever again. So too the people, which meant that every single bit of it was hefker. Because when you give up hope, that's called yush, that meant that they had automatically been mafkir everything that they have, and everything was completely gone. They were particularly worried about the children, not about the wives. You notice? The banav ubnosav. The reason why is because the wives, they knew that they would sacrifice themselves in order to make a kiddush Hashem. But the children wouldn't. The children might join Amalek, and that's what they were worried about more than anything else. But then, all of a sudden, he got strengthened, and he said, it's a miracle that Achish sent me back. It's a miracle that the children were captured and not killed. It's a miracle that we're able to see all this. All of a sudden, he strengthened himself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, got himself up there, and even though everybody's so angry at him for allowing this to happen, David Melech said, Yomer David Elav Yasser HaKohen, Ben Achi Melech, Hagishon Ali HaEphod, bring me the Ephod. He was so weak, he couldn't even get up and go to the Ephod. You needed the Ephod to be brought to him. By Yagash of Yasser, the Ephod, David, he brought it over to David Melech. By Yisrael, David Hashem Lemor. Listen to the question again. Erdov HaKorei HaGedudah HaSigenu. Should I chase after this troops? Will I reach it? And remember, you're only allowed to ask only the two men. One question. But look, Vayomelo, he answered him. Yeah, and he got answered only one. It was he had to ask it again. Vayomelo, Redof, Kiyasek Tasik, Batsil Tatsil. It answered him both questions. Chase after them, you will reach them, and you will save them. There's a bunch of reasons why he answered him over here, but didn't before. Either number one, it needed him to go after them immediately, and if he didn't leave immediately, then he wouldn't be able to catch up with Amalekim. That's number one, before something bad had happened, right? So in other words, it had to be done right now, and that's why the Urim and Thummim was willing to answer that. Or number two, I'm running after them, said David HaMelech. The question is, will I reach them? That's what he was asking. Is this a waste of my time or not? But he wasn't asking, should I chase after them? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, yes, chase after them because you're going to reach them. Okay, so that's the idea behind it, and that's what ended up happening. But Yehu David Huvi Sheshmeos Ishirito. Pasuk Tes, David alone with the 600 men that were with him, Yavoah Nachal Abisor, they came to an area called Nachal Bisor, Vanosarim Amadu. Some of them remained behind, either to watch the troops or for them to go quicker. By Yehu David Huvi Arbameos Ish, then he went with 400 men, Yamdu Masayim Ishishir Pigru Meavor. Nachal Besor. There were 200 men who could not cross over Nachal Besor. Some say they were not needed. Some say they were too weak. They didn't want to fight. Imsu Ish Mitzri Basada. They found an Egyptian man in the fields. By Yichol Sol David, they brought him over to David. By Yinolo Lechem, they gave him bread. By Yochal, and he ate. By Shkul Maim, and they gave him a little bit to drink. By Yinolo Pelach Devela, and they gave him a little bit of a fig cake. Which makes him look into two raisins. By Yochal, and he ate. By Tashav Ruchol, he loved, and he got back to normal. Kilochol Lechem Loshes Maim Shloshi Yom and Shloshi Leilos. He had not eaten bread or water for 3 days and three nights. The reason why is because he was with the Amaleki troops. They had left him for dead because he had gotten sick, but he just needed a little bit of food. They refused to give food to a guy who was dying, and that's that. Even when Hashem hurts you. The cure is already sent beforehand. And this is the cure. Who do you belong to? And from where do you came? Where do you come? We are now Mitzri. I'm not an Amaleki. I'm not an Amaleki. I'm an Egyptian man. Eved l'ish Amaleki. I'm a servant to ish Amaleki. I didn't even mean to be with them. But my master has left me because I've been sick for 3 days all together. So I'm not one of the party, although he had been one of the raiding party and he had taken some things from them. But nonetheless, he said, I'm a servant. I had to go. I had no choice whatsoever. We raided the south of the area called the Kresim, Malashar Yehuda, and those things that belong to Yehuda, on Negev Kalev, and in the area where Kalev used to live, that's Siklag, Saraf Nebesh, and then we burned Siklag by fire. Can you bring me down to these troops? He shoveled, he swear to me that Elohim, into me standing, into Sagreni Biadadini, that if you kill me, you will not hand me over into the hands of my master. And then I will bring you over to the troops. You guys are only 400 men, the guy said over to David Melch. This is a huge troop of Amaleki men. This is not just them. This is an army of Amaleki men that have come up here, and you're only 400. I don't think you have the strength. So swear to me that you're not going to give me over to them or anything like that. But here we do. They brought him down. They were scattered all over the face of the ground. They were eating, drinking, and partying with all the great spoils. And that's why they had to do it immediately. Because if they waited any longer and had anything happened in a different way, A, that guy might have died, and they never would have found out exactly where the Amalekim were. And B, even so, since they had started a party, you can imagine that they were confident, and they had everything together, and this summer, they were starting to rape the woman. And that's what was happening at this point, which is why they had to get there as soon as they possibly could. David HaMelech killed them from that afternoon until the evening. The next evening, not one man was able to escape. But there were 400 young men that were able to ride on camels and get away. Somehow they got away. Eventually they were probably killed by the 200 men that were lying in ambush by that little river over there. If they went south, then they wouldn't be able to get them. Some say that he fought for 36 hours altogether, that they started the chase at Neshef of the day before, but they only started killing them at Neshef of the next day. Neshef is evening time. But either way, it seems that they wanted to do some type of surprise attack. Chazal tell us, and it's from Divrei Yamin Aleph, Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph Mahav Beis, that when he went to Tziklag, when he saw what had happened, he had some people from Menashe that were together with him. And because he had children from Menashe with him, that's how he was able to defeat it. Yehuda cannot defeat Amalek, but Yosef can. Every war in which we fight against Amalek, you have to have a person of Yosef who's with you, or else you will never be able to succeed. And that's where we learn from over here, and we get it from Divrei Yamin, where it says specifically Menashe had come together with him. Some children from Menashe had come together with him in order to fight this camp, and it was Adna, so Yozabad, etc. Yeah, what's up?
Yehoshua couldn't defeat Agad.
Because? No, he's from Binyamin. Binyamin also comes. Yeah, Yosef Binyamin also comes. Binyamin could have done it. Either way, 400 men were able to escape because the 400 men that were together with Esav never fought against Yaakov Avinu. For that, Esav was allowed to have 400 children that survived over here by this war. Now, Yatzel David is called Shalachu Amalek. He was able to save everything that they had taken by Amalek. That's Shtein Nashav Yatzel David and his two wives. Obviously, that means that they weren't defiled, since it calls them his wives. Well, Nedalamin, a cousin out of Gadol, they were not missing anybody from young and old, that Banu Banos from their sons and daughters, all of the spoils, everything that they had taken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to give everything else. So he was able to give it back. Notice, by the way, first of all, he returned everything that belonged to everyone else, and then he brought back his two wives. The last thing he worried about was himself. First thing he worried about was everybody else and everything that it was. Now, all of this stuff was hefker. Why was it all hefker? Because everybody was miayish on it. There was no way anybody was going to be able to get it back. He took all of the tzon and he put the bucker in front of it in order to protect them, because the sheep are weaker. But it was Zeshlal Dovin, and they said, this belongs to Dovin HaMelech because of the Yiyush involved. It belongs to Dovin HaMelech more than everybody else, and everything is there. Now, granted, all this was Jewish property, because they had gotten it from Yehuda, correct? They got it from Yehuda, and the Mistama was all Jewish property. But again, Yush allowed them all to be able to keep it, and there was no problem. They came to the 200 men that had not gone after David. And they left them by Nahal B'Sor. They came out to greet David. They asked them, how did everything go? What ended up happening over here? How was it? All the evil men and the evil-hearted men that were together with David, they said out loud, since they didn't go with me, they should not get from the spoils of Shuritzalnu that we were able to save. Rather, they should take their wives and take their children and go away. They didn't fight with us. They shouldn't go be together with us. Now, the fact is, the halacha is that's not true. That when it comes to splitting up the spoils of the war, those who are left behind get the same amount as those who actually go to war. These people felt that it was their own power that did everything. But it's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything to David, and that's what he said. In Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'yomer David lo sasu kein achoy. Don't do this, my brothers. And sure, nasan Hashem lanu. This is what God gave us, not what you took for yourselves. V'yishmor sani, he watched over us. He put the troops that had come into our hands. He was the one that put it into our hands. It was not us. It was him. And these guys, these 200 men that remained back, they davened and they learned for our merits. And because of that, they get equal. We saw that by the war against Midian. And we saw that earlier when they fought against other places as well. The halacha is that this is what we do. This is what we do. And that's what's different from us from Amalek. Amalek believes that they get to do it on their own. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of everything for us. And that's the idea behind it. So therefore, it's not what we did, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to do. Who's going to listen to you concerning this matter? Like the portion of those who went down to battle, the same chelik should go to those who sat down by the kelim. Yachav yachloku, they will split it up together. But from that point on, it became a law and judgment for Bnei Yisrael until this day. Not only was it a chok, it didn't have a reason behind it. He made a reason behind it. He told them it was a mishpat. It makes sense because they're davening for you. It makes sense because not everybody can go to war. This makes sense. And even though this law had been made by Avraham Avinu, and it was made earlier as well when they took from the spoils of Midian, nonetheless, it was reiterated over here because they had forgotten the law, and it was made by David Melech as well. But Yavah David El Tziklag. David Melech came back to Tziklag. He sent from the spoils to the elders of Yehuda to his friends. He offered them kavod for the Ziknei Yehuda who used to give him a lot of kavod. Lamor, and he said, and here's a bracha from the spoils of the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, he wanted to publicize the miracle without a question of what had happened and how he was sent back from Amalek. That's without a question whatsoever. But it wasn't only that. He also wanted to repay all the people who had helped him when he was in the Midbar and he had absolutely no money whatsoever. He's never been able to pay him back. Finally, he's able to pay them back and he's able to do it. Wherever they had went, he sent over and he rewarded the inhabitants of those places with the spoils and showed them, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, so therefore you get it all back. And that was the reward he gave them. Alright, last parak. Pasuk Aleph and Parak Lamed Aleph. Pelishim will come and be Yisrael via Nusa Anshi Yisrael me may Pelishim. The Pelishim had waged war against the Jews. The men of Yisrael had been chased away from the Pelishim by Yipu Chalol and Bahar Gilboa. There were corpses that fell down on Mount Gilboa. Now I told you before that the men of Yisrael did not die. The corpses that were referring to the three sons of Shaul HaMelech as well as Shaul HaMelech himself.
Oh, this is...
Yeah, it's going to be like that, and that's what it's referring to.
They
were dispirited as soon as they saw the police go and they ran away. It's going to be three sons altogether. That's that. It seems like even though nobody knew that Shaul HaMelech had been told that it was going to be really, really bad, they all sort of knew. They realized something was up. The police overtook Shaul HaMelech as Bana, the police then killed Yehonasan, Abinadav, and Malkishua, the children of Shaul. Became very heavy upon Shaul, and the shooters came out with their bows, and they were very, very sick from the Morim. In other words, they literally were shot up all over the place and they were afraid. Three sons all were killed. Yehonasan, Abinadav, and Malkishua were immediately killed by the shooters. Ish Boshes did not participate in the battle, possibly because of things that happened, but he fled. It might have been he fled together with all the other soldiers and whatever it was. Shaul HaMelech was afraid of abuse. He was afraid that they were going to torture him. And Yonah Shaul HaMelech, so he said to his weapon bearer, Shlof Chabach V'Dok Reniba, take out your sword and pierce me with it. Prevent Achil Hashem by my body. Penyavoa, Reili Ma'ilim, maybe these Urals will come along with Dukarani and they'll kill me. These Alubi, and they'll play with me and they'll do terrible things to me. The Nosek Caliph didn't want to do so. He was very afraid, and he was right for doing so. He was not allowed to kill the king. Even if the king asks you to kill him, you are not allowed to kill the king, and that is the halacha. So Shaul HaMelech took out the sword and jumped on it. He accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment and allowed himself to go to Olam Haba. Now, normally, we say that suicide is awesome. And if you commit suicide, you're not allowed to be buried in certain parts of the cemetery, whatever it is, but that ends up happening. That's what happens when a person commits suicide. But when it talks about suicide in the Torah, ach, as your blood upon your own head I will search for it. Use the word ach. There are exceptions to the rule. An exception to the rule is Shaul HaMelech. You're allowed to commit suicide if you think Achil Hashem will happen by your body. Others say, no, only Shaul HaMelech and not for anything else. Because he had used the sword against Novi Rekwanim, Mida Keneg Mida, he was killed by that same sword. What's up, Nechamiah?
Wouldn't it be, I don't know, maybe I'm making up a lot of stuff, but don't. I thought we say that if you're going to be like tortured or something, then you can't. Is that considered?
That's what we learned from over here.
Yeah,
from Shaul HaMelech. That if you're afraid of a Achil Hashem, of some type of torture or whatever, stuff like that, then you're allowed
like
to.
Not torture, even if it's not a Achil Hashem necessarily.
No, it has to be a Achil Hashem.
Okay.
Otherwise, just torture, you got to take the torture. You're not allowed to kill yourself for
and
it.
Making yourself die faster, is that considered suicide? But
yes.
That's why I forget one of the rabbis who was
Yochanan ibn Trajan.
Was that the
Sefer Torah and they took out the sponges? That's exactly it. Unfortunately, he was dying. There's no question about that. He'd already. But Yar Nose Kilim Kimei Shol. But Nose Kilim saw that Shol HaMelech died by Yibo Gamu Achav of Yamasimo. So he fell on his sword and he died with him. That's not considered like he died at war, and therefore wasn't considered like Ben Yisrael. But Yamashol Shol is Banim and Nose Kilim. Gam Kol Nasha by Yamahu Yaakov. All these men died on that day all together. By Yiru Anshe Yisrael Shabbat Ibrahimek, and the people of Ben Yisrael saw they were on the other side of the valley. Vashirbe Ibrahim Yarden, he Nasu Anshe Yisrael that they had run away. He made to Shol Banim. That Shaul HaMelech and his sons had died. The Azwas Aram, so they immediately left their cities. By Anusu, and they fled. They have all pollution by Yishuvahen. The pollution came and they sat down inside of the cities, and that's what ended up happening over here. There were more deaths to come from Shaul HaMelech's family, but that's that.
Is the armor bearer considered? Is that a good?
I think that's suicide. I don't know if that counts for everybody else. But Yimi Machor, I don't know. You know what? I have absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea whether there was much or not for him to do. By Yimi Machor, it was the next day in Pasuk Tepches. They have all pollution. They came to strip off the corpses. They found Shaul and the three sons fallen in Hara Gilboa. They cut off his head. And they took off his stuff. And they sent around the land of Pelishim to tell it over in the houses of their gods and the people. They brought his Caleb to the house of Ashtaros. So they brought all of his stuff and brought it over to Dagon, the god of Dagon. Remember that guy? Head cut off and the arms cut off. And he also, his body, Tokobokomas Beishan, they stuck it to the wall in Beishan. During that time, there was neither animal nor bird that preyed upon them, that feasted upon them. But Yishmoy loved Yoshua Yavish Gilad. Those who had lived in Yavish Gilad had heard about this. It's also pollution from the Shoal and Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Beis, Yashkumakul Yishchai, all the men of war got up. By Yochukul Alayla, they went all night long. By Yochukul Zvias Shovis, Gvias Badav, Nechomas Beishan. They took down the bodies of Shaul and his sons from the walls of Beishan, by Yavo Yavesha, they came to Yavesh by Yisrafu Osam Shum. They burned them there. Now it cannot mean that there was that they literally burned them inside their areas, because we obviously know you're not allowed to burn bodies whatsoever. So there's a lot of different opinions. Number one is a funeral pyre in which they had put all his personal belongings and all of his kalim, and they burned them all together in order to show everybody what had happened. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and you have to say it that way because Yavish Gilad was praised for what they did, and if they had burned the body, that would be ridiculous.
Isn't there
like that? Yeah.
Something with a mutilated body you can't bury anyways?
Yeah, no, you can. You're allowed to.
You're allowed to bury everything. Yeah. Part of the meal.
But you are right that the fire and the incense that they burned together was covering up the decaying of the corpses, and that's the reason why they had done
the
sixth day.
That the flesh was so infested and gross that they burned the flesh and saved the bones.
That's 100% right, that they were able to do that in order to preserve them better. That's the idea of what they were supposed to do, and that's that. It could be also that they burned them completely, and they did that because they knew that if they were buried, then the person would come and dig them up and do even more horrible things to them. So they burned them in order to get around whatever they, you know, whatever they had done such a thing. Yav Yesh Gilad, it was extremely praised for this, and we're going to see that later on. We're going to see what happens to them in the beginning of Shmuel days. They took their bones. So clearly there were some bones left, right? They buried them under the tree in Yavish. And then they fasted for 7 days whenever anybody great would pass away. That's what they did, but especially when they had to bury the dead over here. And that's what they ended up doing. And we're going to see exactly what happened with Dovenel in the beginning of next parak. But this is some crazy little stuff over there. We're going to stop with this guy. Have a great